Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Amen. We're going to continue in the vein that Angel has been preaching. He's done a great job preaching about the man. Preaching about the man, Jesus. And for those who are visiting today, we have a series that we're doing as we look at the multi-facets of Jesus. I think what's happened in our culture is that we are trying to dumb everything down, to make everything simple, and we even try to do that with Jesus. And so many people will argue that Jesus is just another everyday guy who did a few good things. He fed a few people, took care of some old people, gave out a little bread and fish, but that he is not who the scripture says he is. And I have these conversations consistently with people who want to argue about who Jesus is. They want to debate about who Jesus is. And I believe that's one of Satan's greatest ploys. If we can misunderstand Jesus, we will miss salvation. If we don't get Jesus, we won't be saved. And some of us in this room are skeptical. Because you're kind of looking at me like, really? And we're going to look at the biblical reason, the scriptural reason as to why. We're going to do a lot of Bible study this morning. So I have a number of notes and scriptural references that I'm going to give you, and I'll make sure that we email them out this week because I think this will help us as we understand our target audience, who it is we're ministering to, and how we can be just better servants in God's kingdom with helping people to understand. Also, go ahead and go to Facebook Live and invite your friends. I would love for as many people as possible to see this sermon because I think this is crucial in our time and era. If you go to the book of Luke, one of the things that I've learned the more I study the Bible and the more I live life, there's nothing new under the sun. The struggles we have today are not unique. Man has always struggled, and there's some basic challenges that we all go through. In Luke chapter 24, we're going to pick it up here where we're talking about the resurrection. Angel has explained from the book of Revelation who Jesus is. We have looked at his tattoos. We have looked at his description. We've looked at his horse. We've looked at him coming back to judge the world. And really, the better we can understand the end, it will help us to prepare for what we need to do in the here and now. While we're on this planet, how should we be thinking? But you know, even for believers, sometimes we lose sight of what our focus should be. And we get caught up. We get caught up in the world. We get caught up with our jobs. We get caught up with our families. And there are other things that we get caught up with. And I want to talk about those because every Christian will go through it. The longer you are in the faith, there's going to be a time where you are going to struggle in your faith. And if you haven't started to struggle yet, hold on. You will be invited to the party. Hold on. In Luke chapter 24, in verse 13, we'll pick it up there. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them named Cleophas asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. You know, one thing about Jesus, he loved to ask questions. Jesus loved to make you think, you know. Here we are, you got these two disciples, and what had happened? Jesus had been crucified. There had been commotion in the city. All this drama was going on. You had those who had abandoned Jesus. You had the women who had remained loyal to Jesus. And then you just had this feeling of what's going on? What's next? This is from the believers. What's next? And it's so deep because Jesus just walked up and joined the conversation. Man, you know what? Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. He joined our conversations this week. What did he hear? What did Jesus hear as he joined in on our conversations? And I love Jesus because he just kept it very simple. What things from your understanding, what happened? They said, it's about Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. You know what's really deep right here? They're explaining what they were feeling. Notice, Jesus, well, he was a prophet. See, that era is over. That Jesus got killed, but he was a prophet. And, you know, he was powerful in word and deed. The chief priests and the rulers, you know, they were more powerful than him because they sentenced him to death. Oh, they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. You know what's going on here? The last one. It's the third day. Didn't Jesus say at some point he would rise again on the third day? Did he give that prediction? Where is he? And you know, as you look at these were the Christians. Now, these were the believers. These were the ones who had walked with Jesus. And you know, it's so interesting because I think we all will go through this. And I wanted us to understand that the longer we're in the faith, we have to get back to the basics of Christianity. Sometimes there's a danger of talking amongst ourselves. Sometimes there's a danger when we just go for a walk with our buddy and we just talk amongst ourselves, especially when we have our preferences. See, they had an expectation of what they wanted God to do. Then they had their limited perspective. They didn't know what God was doing. And then the last one, unmet expectations. We had hoped he would restore the kingdom to Israel. We wanted to go back to the days of David and Solomon, where we ruled, we were powerful, and lo and behold, it's the third day, and where in the world is he? So you know what? We're depressed, we're disappointed, we're discouraged, because we spent all this time following a man, and we don't even know where he is. We don't know what's going on. This is not what we expected. And, you know, I think that's a challenge that we even have today. It's not what we signed up for. Now, if you're visiting and you're wondering about this Christian thing, let me let you in on a little secret. It's not going to work out the way you think it's going to work out. Oh, it's amazing. It's incredible, but God will keep us on our toes. And just when we think we got it all figured out, we got this marriage thing figured out. We got this parenting thing figured out. We got this Christian life thing figured out. For true disciples, God will allow us to meet some challenges, some situations, so we can pray and go back to him and wrestle with him because he wants to be in control. After many decades of being a Christian, it still hadn't gotten simple. I love predictability. I don't know about you. I have everything set up the way I need it in the morning. My phone is here. My watch is here. My clothes are over here. It's orderly. I function in order. I go in my room. You know, people used to give me nice pens, cross pens, nice expensive pens as a gift. Don't give them to me. Because if I lose it, I got to tear my house up to find it. Who touched my... I just love predictability. Anybody like order? Anybody like things? just, yeah, you and I are the only weird ones, but we just like things a certain way. Now, some of us are just artists, and we float all over the house, and a shoe is over here, and something's over there, and we're just singing and waltzing. I can't do that. We're all very different. But, you know, the challenge we wrestle with is how well do we know our scriptures? Because life is unpredictable. No matter how much I love it being predictable, or you love predictability, life is unpredictable. And we got to know our scriptures. There's just so many false doctrines out there. You know, these days, I used to get into a lot of religious arguments. After 30 years, I ain't going to argue with you. I'm going to love you. It's an open your Bible. If you want to open your Bible. If not, I'll go find somebody else who wants to open the Bible. I don't have the energy to argue. And it's so much, and it's almost humorous, the false doctrine. So I talked to a teenager, and he came and said, yeah, Pastor, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm like, okay, 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. He gives me what I want. I said, that's not. I said, brother, that is not how that scripture, that's not the scripture. I'm sorry. No, he gives me what I want. No, that, okay, you're a work in progress, you know. You're only 17, we'll work with you on that one. So then I heard, the other day I was with a group of people, and one of the guys said, man, I'm broke. And the lady was like, uh-oh, don't say that. Don't put it in the atmosphere. Don't claim that. He said, no, I had to give a bunch of money out. I just don't have. Oh, no, you don't. And I'm like, that ain't biblical. Jesus said the truth will set you free. I'm like, you know, my mind starts thinking, wait a minute. If I'm not going to say what's really going on in my life, then what am I talking about in my prayers? If I'm not going to be gut level, oh, don't claim sickness. Mm-mm, don't claim it. I feel sick today. That's not what I want, but can you pray for me that I can feel better? But it's just so much false doctrine that has permeated our fellowship. So we're sitting in a study, studying the Bible with a guy. And, you know, Roland does a great job. Chase does a great KO. You know, it's going in there. There's a deep study. And then, you know, people start sharing stuff. Not the brothers. That ain't true. I'm like, what? That ain't in the Bible. That's what I'm saying to myself. So, you know, I try to throw a hint out there. You know, I've been doing this thing 30 years, and I've studied my Bible a long time, and we got to stick with the scriptures. And then it went, phew. And guys just making up more stuff. Doing it. I sent a text, rolling in this study right now. Because when it comes to a person's soul, we can't make stuff up. When it comes to somebody's soul, we can't make stuff up. And you know, even when it comes to our souls, do we know more tradition, popular theology, or do we know Bible? And in this time and era which we live in, everybody's got their own doctrinal beliefs. And it's like, you can't tell anyone they're wrong. Let's just look at Jesus. Let's just imitate Jesus. For a moment, indulge me. Let's imitate Jesus. In verse 24, then some of our companions went to the tomb and found that just as the women had said, they did not see Jesus. He spoke to them, how foolish you are, how slow to believe. All that the prophets have spoken, did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. So Jesus, they didn't know he was Jesus. He was listening to the conversation, and they were droning on and on from the book of First Opinions. Some of us dwell in that book too long. We are in the book of First Opinions. And then when somebody tries to say, well, you know, that's not biblical, we go to the book of Second Opinions. Then we go to the book of Judges and we say, don't judge me. Do not judge me. I know what I believe. Okay, it's wrong, but I'm not going to fight with you on that. We're just going to go back to the Bible. There are times, you know what we got to do? Have a Bible study. You know what Jesus did with them brothers? These were the Christians. Jesus said, guys, you don't know the scriptures. On the road, Jesus had a good old Bible study with the disciples. Jesus just took them back, said, you know what? Let's go all the way back to Moses. Let's go all the way back to the beginning. Because it's pretty obvious some of us are having a very hard time like I am right now. Jesus said, you know what? Let's go all the way back to Moses. That means the Old Testament. How many of us can study Jesus from the Old Testament? How many of us can go back? Okay. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, so that he may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky. That's Genesis 1, 26. At the very beginning of time, God was not alone. Notice the plural, let us make man. Now, what people want to argue about, who is Jesus? He ain't nothing special. And you know what cracks me up? When black people start saying that, when did we become agnostics and atheists? It's mind-blowing that there are so many people in our community don't want to believe in Jesus anymore. Who is Jesus? Where did he come from? What's going on with you? I want to go back to the ancient religion. You can't get no more ancient than this. In the beginning, the very beginning, it was God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. Amen. Let us make man in our image. There were no other people. There were no people. So how can we say who is Jesus? In the beginning. Then when Jesus came on, so let's parallel Old Testament, New Testament. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. How confusing is that? He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. So for those who want to go back, let's go to ancient Africa and talk about the Egyptians. Well, number one, in the beginning, it was God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. There was no culture. There was no religion. Let us. So we can't allow our faith to be shaken by pseudo scholars. We can't let our faith be shaken by YouTube enthusiasts. We can't do that. And I say, the reason I say this, guys, you got to spend a lot of time reading your Bible. Because for years I missed this scripture. I always heard, let me make man in my image. That's the way my brain heard it. But then the more I say, wait a minute, let's put these scriptures together. Old covenant, new covenant. Jesus said, hey, I was there in the very beginning. So I have the right to say what I need to say for God. In Genesis chapter 3, you know, Jesus all throughout the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 3, in verse 14, this is where the curse comes in. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, curse you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly. You will eat dust all the days of your life. Also, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head. You will strike his heel. God had a plan to redeem the world. Even after we had blown it, God had a plan. And guess what his plan was? Jesus. Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 29, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Muhammad did not take away the sin of the world. Oh, you can't judge. He didn't say he was there to take away the sin of the world. He said, I'm here to teach you submission to Allah, which is another name for God, who was in the beginning with Jesus. So if you really follow it back, he said, I'm teaching you submission to the one God. Well, the one God said, it ain't just one. I got the Holy Spirit and Jesus. So logically, we should all submit to God. But a part of submitting to God is accepting Jesus. You can't get away from Jesus. And then you have Confucius. You have Buddha. You have all these religious leaders, people who said deep, profound things, but nobody said, I'm taking away the sin of the world. Now, what's really interesting is when Christians start getting apologetic for that. Brother, I don't know if we can be that definitive. I don't know if we can say it that. Why not? All Jesus did was had a good old-fashioned Bible study with the brothers. So he's walking along with them. Okay, the boy says, I'm going to take you all to Deuteronomy. Okay? Because you talked about Jesus was a prophet, but, you know, looked like the world overcame the prophet. Jesus said, let's go to Deuteronomy 18:18. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their Israelites. I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him. God said, listen, I'm going to raise up a prophet. He's coming. He's coming out of Israel. And he's going to. And what did Jesus say in John chapter 12, 47 through 50? If anyone hears my words, does not keep them, I do not judge them. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word I spoke will condemn him at the last day. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. Either Jesus was a liar, he was a lunatic, or he was Lord. You got to figure it out. Oh, I don't know about this Jesus. So is he lying? Would a good prophet lie? Why would you follow a lying prophet? That's not logical. See, I want us to understand we got to love the Lord our God with our heart. What else? What mind? You mean we got to engage? We got to get intellectual? We got to go deeper? Why would you follow a lying prophet? What sense does that make? What did Jesus say? There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn him, for I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me. Jesus, I didn't come on my own court. There was a conversation. Jesus, I got a mission for you. Go down there and help them people out. That means a lot, Father. Yes, it does. Go help them out. And just say exactly what I tell you to say. And because Jesus was humble and submissive, he obeyed God. But that ties into Deuteronomy chapter 18:18. Now, and then there's so more, and you keep reading on, and you can keep reading on. In the Old Covenant, there's all these prophecies about Jesus. And what's deep? This is what's really sad. The religious leaders missed it. The people who knew the Old Covenant, who knew the scriptures, they missed it. And I'll be honest with you, we got to watch that because sometimes we compare ourselves to the tax collector, the woman at the well. I can relate. Yeah, I was a sinner too. Yeah, Jesus had mercy. Yeah, I can relate to the fisherman. Yeah, I can relate. Mm-hmm. Then after we become Christians, we're not them people anymore. We're not them people anymore because we become more like the religious leaders because we know a little Bible. We know enough Bible to be dangerous. We got three scriptures. And we're going to set everybody straight with them three scriptures. And it's the same three scriptures we've known for 3 years. And we know just enough Bible to be dangerous. Because, well, we got to keep growing. We got to keep growing. We got to keep learning. We got to keep digging. And this is what I'm saying. It's not good enough for us just to talk amongst ourselves. Because we all have our own preference. Especially how we think the church should run. We got our own preference. We got our own unmet expectations. And when things aren't working out in our personal lives, then we get mad. And we get upset. And you know, you look at those early disciples, that's exactly what they were going through. And it's so beautiful because Jesus, just say, let's study the Bible. The next time, let's do this. The next time we're going through a very hard time, before we get on the phone, get on IG, Facebook, what else are y'all on? Twitter, Tumblr, whatever, all that stuff going on. Whatever all those social media platforms, let's get into the Bible. Amen. Then when we do get in conversation with each other, let's say, you know what? I'm feeling this. Let's Google some scriptures about this. Let's look at some scriptures about, because everything's on Google. I found all this on Google. You type in prophecies of Jesus. Listen, I've studied many, many years. I got a lot of notes. Also got a laptop, prophecies of Jesus. Anybody could do it. And they all pop up. I mean, I would love to say, yeah, you know, I've been doing this many years and I have 30 books at home. I ain't go through them books. I just typed in prophecies of Jesus. Then as they popped up, I went back to the Bible. And I said, okay, do these scriptures line up? The next one is in Psalm chapter 22, because Psalms, Jesus is all over the Psalms. Jesus is all over the Psalms. So really, we could argue, we could debate about, and you know, nobody has a hard time with the miracles of Jesus. Nobody has a hard time with Jesus healing, because when mama's sick, we need a miracle. When we broke, we need a miracle. We don't have a hard time with miracles, but we have a hard time with Jesus being the miracle. Jesus being the miracle for humanity. Now, we want him to serve us, and I think sometimes we want the genie. Like in Aladdin. Y'all saw the remake of Aladdin? Yeah. Horrible!
No.
Horrible! Horrible! Can somebody send a message to Hollywood? You can't remake a classic. I'm sorry. Lion King, horrible. You can't remake a classic. You can't do it. That's coming out of the book of First Opinions. But I think some of us, we want a genie. We want Jesus to perform for us, but we don't want to obey. You know, in that movie, the genie had to perform. Nobody had to obey the genie. And I think sometimes in our religiosity, yeah, we love Jesus. We love him because we're looking for a man. Of course we love Jesus. But then once Jesus blesses us, okay, I got it. Go back in the bottle. I can take it from here. No, we got to keep on loving him all the way through. Keep on loving him. Psalm chapter 22, this is a prophecy about the cross. Humanity hinges on the cross. If Jesus had not died on the cross, church would be a waste of time. It'd be a waste of time. Wouldn't make sense. Come out Sunday morning. Wouldn't make sense. Share your faith. Read your Bible. Deny yourself. Why? Jesus would have been just like Moses or David. The cross. That is the dividing line of humanity, time, and space. The cross. It says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 22, Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried on a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was a part of the plan. It was a part of the master plan. See, Jesus struggled. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he struggled. Lord, if there's any other way, I don't want to die. So all this weirdness about don't put it out in the atmosphere, you better put it out in the atmosphere. You better pray to God and be honest about what you are going through, but you temper it with not my will, your will be. I don't want to struggle. I don't want to go through a hard time. I don't want to go through difficulty. I don't want to mourn. I don't want to be disappointed. My God, that's what Jesus said. But he knew there was a plan. When we have unmet expectations, you know what we got to do? We got to say, God, I know you got a plan. Yeah. Right now, I don't feel like you have a plan. I feel like I'm left out, but I know you got a plan. Just give me the patience to see this through. In Psalm chapter 16, see, okay, the cross, but then if Jesus hadn't come out the grave, this would be a waste of time. If Jesus was left in the grave, if people really wanted to dispel Christianity, all they had to do was find the body. Just produce the body. Nobody produced it. So the rumor is his disciples came and stole the body and hid it. So this is a worldwide conspiracy of the fakeness of Christianity. Because Peter, James, and John went back and moved that big boulder and hid Jesus' body so they could deceive all people about Christianity. If you read the Bible, they were running away. It's kind of hard to believe those people who ran away went back while the soldiers were there. These were Roman soldiers. These guys were brutal. They weren't a little 99-pound guy standing there with a flashlight saying, get back. No, I'm talking about these guys had swords. They were brutal. Psalm 16, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. David wrote this. But was David talking about himself? Because David died. David was buried. This was a prophecy. And it was fulfilled. Matthew chapter 28, 5 through 6. The angel said to the woman, do not be afraid. For that I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen. Just as he said. Jesus said, I will rise again. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. And you know, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forever. That's who we serve. But what I want to encourage us to do, for those of us who are skeptical, and an audience this size, there's always someone skeptical about the biblical Jesus, take some time out to do your own research. Dig deep. Write down what are your skepticisms. What is it you believe is inaccurate? What is the great lie? What is the great confusion? Then study it out. Because what Jesus did with those brothers, he said, how foolish you are, how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things, enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures. Time for Bible study, church. If you are a member of this church, the only way we're going to keep growing is we got to go back to old-fashioned Bible study. We got to open the Bible. We got to filter everything through the scriptures. We got to say, what does the Bible say? Because as we grow, there are going to be a lot of opinions, a lot of feelings, a lot of ideas, which is fine. But the ultimate standard has got to be the Word of God. We just don't make the Bible our standard to get baptized. This is what we got to live by. This is what we got to live by. And I will not apologize for this. I'm not going to say, well, okay, well, I see what the Bible says. But, you know, culturally, things have changed. Yeah, culturally, things have changed for the worse. Not like it's getting better. There's more confusion, more anger, more hate, more ugliness. So why would we want to bring that into the church? Well, you don't understand. People are different. Really? What's different? You have two disciples who have seen all the miracles, seen amazing things happen, who listened to, they heard the voice of Jesus. It wasn't secondhand. They heard it. They could even quote back what Jesus said. But their preferences, their unmet expectations, clouded, overshadowed the scriptures. And that can happen to us today. It can happen to me. It can happen to you. It has happened to me before. So what do? You go back to old-fashioned Bible study. Because Jesus is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. What is the miracle? Jesus. He was the miracle for the salvation of humanity. That was God's plan. And we have the honor and the privilege right now to take communion, to commemorate and celebrate the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's why we gather together. We don't do anything else on a Sunday. We gather together to remember Jesus. And we take just a few minutes out of our busy day to say, God, thank you for allowing your son to die. But most importantly, to resurrect. And now we have an opportunity when our time has come, we're not going to stay in the grave. We can go be with our Father for eternity. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father and God, we come before you. And God, we want to thank you so much. Thank you so much for the clarity of the scriptures. God, there's so much confusion in the world. There's so much false doctrine, God. There's so much weird teaching, and Satan is constantly trying to undermine our faith. Satan is constantly trying to undermine our conviction. He's constantly trying to belittle Jesus, destroy the church. But I pray, dear God, that we will stand firm on our conviction about the Bible. We will stand firm on our conviction about Jesus. And we will allow the Bible to be our guide. We will allow Jesus to truly be our Savior. Thank you for the body that was broken, the blood that was shed. Thank you for the bread and the fruit of the vine that represents that. But God, I pray as Jesus resurrected, that every morning, every day, we can just resurrect our faith. And no matter what difficulties we go through, to resolve the fight one more day to bring glory to you. We love you, Father. We ask these prayers in your son's name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.